is a summary of the work of a shepherd. Amen. PVCI is a summary of the work of a shepherd. P is for prayer. V is for visitation. C is for counseling. And I is for interaction. Hallelujah. Father, we thank you so much for tonight, and we pray that you will breathe upon the preaching and teaching of your word. Let it come alive and let it be a blessing to us. Let it move our church forward in Jesus' name. And everybody says amen. Amen. All right. So interaction is what I want to talk about tonight. Amen. The importance of interaction. Why is it important for us to make interaction a conscious product of our efforts? Amen. Amen. It should be something that we consciously do. Now, a lot of people assume that once you meet people, or once you are in a place where there are other people, that is the same as interaction. But that is not the same. Amen. Interaction is an intentional engagement, you know, of other people, you know, in communication, in conversation, in relationship. Hallelujah. It is not a product of just being there. It doesn't happen just because you are there. But it happens when, beyond being there, you take specific steps to engage people. Can I have an amen? Amen. Now, in a young or small growing church like this one, interaction, just as all the others, that means just as prayer, just like visitation, just like counseling, interaction is a very important element that contributes to church growth. Amen. Amen. It really helps for the church to grow when the members of the church actively engage each other, and especially new people, in what we call interaction. Amen. Amen. So tonight I want to give you 8 reasons why interaction is important for every church, and especially our particular congregation. Hallelujah. As we seek the face of the Lord, as we pray, as we trust the Lord to grow as a church, interaction is going to become very, very necessary and very, very vital to our growth. Can I have an amen? Amen. So number one, interaction makes people stay in the church. And that is a no-brainer, isn't it? Yeah. Interaction makes people stay in the church. Hallelujah. Amen. Now, we may think that people come to a church because we meet in a nice, beautiful hall like this one, or that people will come to a church because we asked our members to practice sit by your soul and they invited people to come, or people will come to a church even because of the proximity, nearness to a bus stop or train station. There's a train station not too far from here, isn't it? Right, so bus stop, train station, or even our early morning coffee and donut. Do you see? Which is powerful, but that by itself cannot sustain growth in the church. Hallelujah. Amen. After whatever it is that is an attraction to your church has brought people in, one of the key things that keeps people in a church is their relationships and the friends that they form in the church. Hallelujah. Amen. The friends they make in the church, the friendships they form in the church, actually goes a long way to keeping them in the church and will keep them in the church longer, way beyond your beautiful hall or what your beautiful hall can do. Hallelujah. When people have friends in the church, they stay in church. Hallelujah. When people don't have friends in the church, they leave the church. Hallelujah. That is why it is more common to see that someone would leave the church because he quarreled with someone. Do you understand? He would leave the church because he quarreled with someone. So friendships and relationships bring them in and keep them in, and then quarrels and hostility drives them out. Amen. So as you are bringing one hand sweeping them in, the other hand of quarrels and hostility and unfriendliness actually drives them out. Hallelujah. So what will help people to stay in the church, and what keeps us bound? Hallelujah. Bishop calls it the cement of the church. Hallelujah. Which is, you know what cement is? Cement holds things together, isn't it? If you're constructing a building, you bring the different blocks together, and then mortar made of cement is what you put between them so that one will stick closely and permanently to another. Hallelujah. So we have to make a conscious effort based on our understanding of what I'm sharing with you, that we'll make a conscious effort to interact with people to the point of becoming their friends. Can I have an amen? Not just a casual interaction, type of on the surface, what is your name type of thing. But beyond that, we must deeply relate and connect with people. Hallelujah. And we must connect with all people who God sends to our church. When God sends people to us, we must not neglect them, but we must be sure and be intentional about relating with them so they can continue to be around. Say amen. Amen. Number two, interaction makes people feel important. Hallelujah. Every soul is important. Every single soul is important. Every person is important. Hallelujah. I was reading this morning where the Bible said that, that was in Matthew chapter 10 and verse 30, he said that even the very hairs on your head are numbered. Hallelujah. And he says that are not two sparrows sold for a certain amount or whatever? Then he says there's not even one of them that falls to the ground outside your heavenly Father's knowledge and awareness. Hallelujah. So everything that happens to everyone is, if God is busy counting people's hairs, do you understand? Then you should know that people must be important. Hallelujah. People are very important. Amen. Now, we are important to God, and everyone wants to feel that they are important. Amen. They want to feel that they are important in the church, that they are not just somebody who came to church, but someone finds them significant enough to relate with them. Hallelujah. And that helps to keep people in the church. Amen. You would not stay in a church for a long time if you don't feel you matter, if you don't feel you're important. If no one talks to you after church, no one is interested in you, no one stays around you, you will not stay in the church for a long time. That is the truth. Especially when, if you don't come to church and nobody is even interested in finding out why you didn't come to a church, or what happened to you, and even when you don't want anybody to ask you, you wish they would ask you, so you even refuse to answer. You see what I'm saying? But it offends even people who will not answer. They get offended when they are not asked. Can I have an amen? So we are learning how to keep what God has given to us, and one of the ways is to interact with them, because interaction makes people feel very important. Can I have an amen? Number three, interaction makes people feel that they are not just a number or a statistic. Okay? That they are not just a number or a statistic, which is to say that, you know, people do not want, we should not get to a place as a church where the only importance of people to us is for our data reporting. Do you understand? 40 people came to church, 60 people came to church, 120 people came to church. Do you understand? Who are those people? I don't know. You know, what are their names? I don't know. I just know that 100 people came to church. I just know that 40 or 50 or 200 people came to church. That is all I'm interested in. Hallelujah. Now, as we count and as we watch the Lord increase us and grow our church, we run this particular risk, and this particular, we are at risk for this particular temptation, which is that we are interested in people for the number, do you see? And not so much that we are interested in the soul or the person. Can I have an amen? And so you will find that often when you are interested in people just as a head count, you see that there's not much interest in interacting with them. After all, they've come. Whether they like it or not, they've come already. They've brought themselves. They've been counted. So they can go. You see what I'm saying? They can go. And so there's no interest in such a person or in keeping such a person. Hallelujah. Jesus didn't lose any of the sheep. He said, all that you have given me, I have kept them. You see, all that you have given me, I have kept them. They may not all be good. They may not all be great, but I've kept them anyway. Do you understand? We must keep all the people that God gives to us. Jesus said, the only person that I lost was the son of perdition. Do you understand? And the son of perdition is not a very common person to find. Hallelujah. He's not someone you just look around and you just, this is the son of perdition. No, no, no. He's not like that at all. A son of perdition is someone who is doomed. Do you understand? With no hope for him spiritually at all. That's a son of perdition. And there are not many people like that around. Can I have an amen? Amen. There are not many such people around. Many people we lose are products of our lack of interest or sufficient interest in them. Hallelujah. Or sustained continuous interest. Because sometimes the interest is there, but it's not or does not run long enough. Hallelujah. The interest begins, but it doesn't continue. It doesn't follow through the different curves and the different stages and the different phases of the person's membership or the person, our interaction with the person. Hallelujah. So it is very, very important that people are not just a number to us. Can I have an amen? But let's see them as souls. That a person has come to church. And the more people who come to church, the more we must see that today we have more work. You see what I'm saying? Instead of that, the usher is going to count. Have you counted everybody? That is true. But it should also be a message of how much work there is to do today. Do you see what I'm saying? Which is that there is the work of engagement, intentional engagement after church, one-on-one with people to ensure that we interact appropriately with them. Say amen. Amen. Number four, interaction makes people feel that they are not objects being used to make the pastor famous. You see, it makes people feel that they are not objects being used to make the pastor famous. Hallelujah. Of course, one of the things that makes a pastor famous is the size of his church. You know, every famous pastor has a very large church. Do you get it? And when a pastor is famous but doesn't have a large church, then usually he's a controversial pastor. Do you get it? So two things that make pastors famous: the size of their church or the controversy around their lives. Do you see what I'm saying? Those two things make pastors famous. Hallelujah. But when pastors are famous, or when churches grow larger and larger and larger, then the pastors naturally become famous. There's a verse here that we can read, Proverbs chapter 14 and verse 28. It says, "In the multitude of people is the king's honor, but in the want of people is the destruction of the prince." Have you seen that? Yeah. The prince is destroyed by the want of people. You see, he doesn't have people in his church. So even though he's a prince, he's destroyed. Do you get it? An anointed pastor can be destroyed by the lack of members, people in his church. Hallelujah. Yeah. He can be destroyed. He can be discouraged. He can even quit the ministry altogether because of the lack of members. Hallelujah. But it says when there's a multitude of people, when there are a lot of people, the king has a lot of honor. People respect him naturally. People say, he's the pastor of such and such a church. So, oh, wow, you know. And everybody is amazed and everybody is wowed by him. Hallelujah. Now, when we interact with people, it enables the people feel that we are not using them. Do you understand? That we are not using them. We don't just want you to come to church, Michael. We don't just want you to come to church, Stephen. You see what I'm saying? It's not just that we want you to come. We are interested in you. You see what I'm saying? We're interested in you as a person. You know, even whether you come to church or not. Can I have an amen? That is why our interaction with people must go beyond the four walls of the church. We must interact with people beyond the church. This shouldn't be that it is only when we meet in church that we talk. We must also talk to each other outside church. We must take people's phone numbers and we must call. We must interact with people outside church. Hallelujah. Because what God is giving us when he brings us a person is a new brother or a new sister. Amen. And when someone is your brother or your sister, the interaction with them is constant. You know, it's not just a one-time thing once a week when I see you or bump into you by accident. If I come to church and you also come, then if you are blessed enough, I'll say hello to you. If you're not, well then too bad. Till we meet again, bye-bye. That's not how it should be. Hallelujah. Tonight, there are many people who are not here. It should be that we call them. Amen. Amen. There are some who don't come or have not established a reputation or do not have a record of coming to church during the week. But there are some who do. Amen. There's a good number of people who come here every weekday, Tuesday. And those people who are not here tonight, we must search for them, you know, and let them know that it's important for us that they are here. Not so we count them, but also that we are wondering, we care about them, where are they and what is wrong with them? Are you getting what I'm saying? What is going on with them is of interest to us, and they must feel that way. Can I have an amen? Right. So it makes people feel that they are not just a number. Can I have an amen? And they are not trying to make the pastor famous. Hallelujah. Number five. Interaction is important because personal contact changes wrong impressions. Hallelujah. Now, this is a very, very important point. Because it is very common for people to have erroneous impressions about churches. Amen. Erroneous impressions about churches. Erroneous impressions about pastors. Erroneous impressions about congregations. Hallelujah. Right, okay, the other 50% of our congregation just walked in. Hallelujah. Are you getting what I'm saying? We are talking about, for those of you who just joined us, we're talking about interaction and the importance of interaction. Amen. We're talking about the reasons why every church member must be engaged and involved in the work of interaction. Sheila, you get what I'm saying, right? Not just being in each other's presence, but to interact. Do you understand? To interact. I know somebody who says interreact. Do you understand? And interreact, that means to react to each other. Do you see? To act on and react with each other. Hallelujah. Right. So we are understanding that interaction is important, and we are number five on point number five. I'm giving you 8 points, 8 reasons why all of us must interact with church members. Say amen.
Amen.
So I'm on number five, and I'm saying that interaction is important because it changes, personal contact changes wrong impressions. Hallelujah. And it is very common for people to have wrong impressions about the church. It is very common for people to have wrong impressions about the pastor. It is very common for people to have wrong impressions about the pastor's wife, or wrong impressions about the leader of the choir, or wrong impressions even about the choir itself, you know, or wrong impressions about the children's ministry. People form all kinds of impressions based on how things seem to them from a distance. Hallelujah. But then comes the powerful tool of interaction. Because interaction gives you a ringside view of the thing that you have formed an impression about. Hallelujah. It puts you right there. It gives you the opportunity to set the record straight. Amen. It gives you the opportunity to ask questions appropriately and to ask questions directly so you can have direct answers that will help you. Amen. A good example is the Queen of Sheba. The Queen of Sheba had heard so many things about Solomon, but she obviously, by her own admission, she had a wrong impression, isn't it? She didn't have the full picture. And so she decided that she was going to travel, you know, and come and see for herself, you know. And when she came all the way to come and visit Solomon, then she came to a new and different conclusion about who Solomon really was, isn't it? 2 Chronicles chapter 9 and verse 5 and verse 6. 2 Chronicles chapter 9 and verse 5 and verse 6. You know, the Bible says, "And she said to the king, 'It was a true report which I heard in my own land of thine acts and of thine wisdom. Howbeit, I believe not their words until, you know, I believe not their words until I came.'" Can you see that?
Yeah.
So she had heard so many things. People, she said she had heard many good things, true reports about Solomon, but she didn't believe it. Do you understand? She said, "Until I came and mine eyes have seen it. And behold, one half of the greatness of thy wisdom was not told to me." That means what I heard was actually just 50% of the truth. Are you getting what I'm saying? Yeah. And interaction supplies the other 50%. Do you see? So she even had zero, because even the 50% that was told to her, she didn't believe it. Isn't it? Yeah. He says, "For thou exceedest the fame that I heard." You know, I heard a lot of things about you, but I didn't believe it. You know, I heard that you are kind, you have wisdom. I heard that you are interested in people. I heard that you know about trees and plants. You have such wisdom for life. I heard it all, but I didn't believe it. And you will not believe how many, skeptics come to church, or how skeptical people are when they go to a church for the first time. They sit there and they're smiling and everything, but they have all sorts of ideas and they have all kinds of things going through their heads. You know, they have all kinds of impressions, preconceived notions, you know. Sometimes they prejudge the church, prejudge the pastor, prejudge the sermon, you know, and the whole thing is up and it's in their heads. Hallelujah. But interacting with people gives you the opportunity to burst that bubble. Hallelujah. It gives you the opportunity to change that whole thing and to give them information. And that's what the Queen of Sheba did for herself by traveling to go and interact with Solomon herself. Said, I've heard the things, but let me ask him the question myself. So she went to sit there and they talked. And as they talked, she said, look, I've come from 0 to 100%. You know, because I realized that even what I heard, which I didn't believe, was just 50% of what there is to say. Amen. So interacting with people will help them to correct wrong notions about the church, wrong notions about Lighthouse Chapel, wrong impressions about Lighthouse Chapel. Many people have all kinds of things they say about Lighthouse Chapel. They say that we are a church of intellectuals. You see, perhaps if they were to interact with you, they will realize that you haven't got your college degree yet. Do you see what I'm saying? They will realize, oh, really? There's someone like you in the church. As they are talking to you, they'll realize that they're not the only one who works for Home Depot picking up the plants when the shop is closing. You see? They'll realize that they're not the only one who does not work for a bank, or the only one who does not work, have some high profile job or something like that. They'll realize, oh, there are other people in the church. They are regular people in the church. Hallelujah. They'll interact with you and they'll get to know much more about you. And they'll realize that the person is not as sophisticated as they look. You know, some people have a sophisticated look, especially people who wear eyeglasses, like Dorcas and Zoe. You know, people who wear eyeglasses have a certain sophisticated look. It's like this person is very, very high, and she must be a doctor, you know, or that she doesn't want to talk to people. You see, and sometimes quiet people also have that impression. So when the person is quiet and wears glasses, then there's a problem. And then tall people also are often accused of being snobbish and proud. Do you see what I'm saying? Yeah, because tall people sometimes walk a certain way. They have to stretch their legs a little bit and they walk a certain way. And it gives a certain air of confidence. Do you see what I'm saying? And then people who look at them and they just form an impression of these people. So when you are tall and you have eyeglasses and you are quiet, oh my Lord. Wrong impressions. Are you getting what I'm saying? It's a wrong impression. You know, it's like she's not nice. Who said she's not nice? But as we interact with people, especially if the interaction is initiated by you, do you understand? Because if people have formed an impression about you and it's a wrong one, and you initiate an interaction with them that allows them to know the real you and to get a real feel of how this church goes and what is in this church and who belongs to this church, what a blessing it's going to be for both you and the person. Can I have an amen? How many can see that interaction is going to help us greatly? Wow. Powerful. Number six. Interaction is important because personal contact helps people to become more committed. Hallelujah. Personal contact helps people to become more committed. Amen. When we talk to people, it helps them to become more committed. Like I mentioned earlier, you know, when people have friends and genuine relationships in the church, it paves the way. It's a doorway to commitment. Can I have an amen? Amen. It's a doorway to commitment, and it helps them to settle in the church. When they find or know someone in the church who is interested in them and who likes them enough. Hallelujah. There's another good example in the book of John chapter 1. Jesus was now starting his ministry and he had started to gather people. And you see that Jesus was such an outgoing person. Hallelujah. And he personally interacted with people. When he had the opportunity to do that, he would ask them questions, he would talk to them, you know, and get personal with people sometimes. Hallelujah. Now, in this particular passage, the Bible says, Jesus saw, this is verse 47, Jesus saw Nathanael coming to him. Do you see? And then he, Jesus, saith of him. Do you see? So when we see people coming to us, then the next move, because they have made the first move, the first move is that they came. So the next move is now our move. Are you getting what I'm saying? Yeah. When someone has come all the way to your church, they don't owe you another move because they have made their move. Do you understand? You should never underestimate what it takes to get someone to come to church. It's a lot. Think of what you went through to come to church today. You have to plan it from the morning. And you have to decide in the evening, I'm coming to church anyway. Do you see? So sometimes you're very tired, but you're still coming anyway. Gene, are you not tired today? You're not tired. Well, okay. Your eyes look like the eyes of a tired person. Amen. But anyway, so you see that Jesus saw this person coming to him. And then he spoke to him. He said, behold, an Israelite indeed, in whom is no guile. See, so you have to learn to say good things also about people. Do you understand? He didn't say, behold, I've never seen a man so short like this one. Hey, my friend. No, you don't say such things to people. That's not how to interact with people. But rather, he said, an Israelite indeed in whom is no guile. And then Nathanael said unto him, whence knowest thou me? So now we are sure that Jesus did not know the person he was talking to. You see what I'm saying? But not knowing who he was talking to did not stop him from initiating a conversation with the person. He said, whence knowest thou me? Jesus answered and said unto him, before that Philip called thee. So it's not Jesus who invited the person to the place. It's Philip. You understand? The person was Philip's guest in the church. But Jesus went to him and took over and made friends and related with him. Hallelujah. Many times we leave our visitors to the people who brought them. Do you see? And sometimes when people have brought people to church, you see that they can't even do what they do in church. Because it's like their visitor is hanging on their backs. And they wish someone would take the visitor off them so they can get to the job of rolling the cables. Do you understand? But if nobody is talking to their guest, then they have to mind their guest. And the rolling of the cable job, it remains undone. Do you understand? So Philip brought someone to Christ, and then Christ engaged the person. And Christ said that before Philip called thee, when thou was under the fig tree, I saw thee. Nathanael answered and said unto him, Rabbi, thou art the Son of God. Thou art the King of Israel. Hallelujah. Amen. So you can see that Jesus going out of his way to interact with this guy helped him to become more committed, to become a believer in Christ and in the ministry of Jesus Christ. Say amen. Amen. Hallelujah. And Nathanael became a committed disciple and he stayed with Christ until the end. Hallelujah. Isn't that amazing? Just what interaction will do. Do you see? He gained a lifelong member. Who became one of the apostles. Amen. Who knows who you're going to interact with and what they're going to become. Perhaps they'll be one of the pastors of a lighthouse church one day. Hallelujah. So that is very important. Number 7. Interaction is important because Jesus interacted. As we just read, Jesus himself was a good interactor. And therefore, we want to follow him. Amen. If Jesus did it, we should do it. Isn't it? Yeah. Mark chapter 1 and verse 16. Mark chapter 1 and verse 16 and 17. It says, "Now as he walked by the Sea of Galilee, he saw Simon and Andrew, his brother, casting a net into the sea, for they were fishers. And Jesus said unto them, Come ye after me, and I will make you to become fishers of men." Hallelujah. Two people are doing their business. Can you imagine if you were going home from work, you see two people mending their nets. Then you go out of your way to go and talk to them. Say, "Come and follow me. I'll make you fishers of men." Hallelujah. Jesus was not afraid of people. Amen. And if you're going to be a good church builder, you need to overcome your fear of people. You need to overcome your fear of what will they say? What will they think of me? Do you understand? What will they say? What will they think of me? What if they don't mind me? Do you understand? Or they're going to think I'm after something else. You know, if I go and talk to a man, he's going to think I'm after something. If I talk to a woman, she's going to think I'm after something else. You know, but we need to overcome those fears and overcome those things and be like Jesus Christ. Jesus just saw two people doing their work and he went to them. They didn't come to him. Unlike the first case where the person had been brought by another person, this one, the two people were minding their own business. But Jesus thought, these are two people, let me try, let me talk to them. And he went out of his way and he spoke to them. And he said, "Come and be with me and I'll make you fishers of men." You'll be amazed how many people will follow and how many people will be committed if somebody will invite them. Amen. If someone would just invite them. If someone would say confidently and strongly to them, "Look, I think this is a good church. Let's join it." Do you see what I'm saying? If someone would say to them, "Look, I think this church, this lighthouse we attended last week, I think is a good church. Let's join the church." If someone would say something like that to them, you'll be amazed how many people would be committed or become committed because of such an invitation. Say amen. Amen. Then finally, number 8, interaction makes people feel special. Interaction makes people feel special. Hallelujah. Amen. Amen. Everybody likes to be around someone who makes them feel special. Is it not true? Yeah, we all like to feel special. We all like to feel like we matter. Don't you think so? Yeah, and interacting with people makes them feel special. Amen. Many years ago, I used to go to a certain church, and I didn't know that ushers are trained to smile and relate with people. So anytime I entered the church, and the usher would come to me, and he would smile and sort of talk to me and shake my hand and walk me to my seat, I thought it was me. Do you see? It wasn't until later that I realized that that's what they do to everybody. Do you see what I'm saying? But it certainly made me feel special. You know, and the most special feeling came from when, you know how people come to church, how they sit down. When people come to church, they sit just like you're seated tonight. You see, most of the seats in the back are full. You see, so the next people who come to church will probably come and sit in front like this. So in that church, there were always seats like that in the front. And I would arrive at the church at the time I did, and the usher would take me and bring me all the way to the front. You see, and when I get to sit at the front, I used to feel, oh wow, they reserved a seat for me. Do you see what I'm saying? They reserved a nice seat for me, and the gentleman walked me all the way up to the front to sit on that seat, you see. And that made me feel special. And I remember I longed to go back to that place every Sunday, you know. And if you're wearing some shoes that make, you know, when you wear shoes that make some noise, it adds some oomph to your feeling when you're walking, you see. So I'd wear my shoes that would be knocking, you know, and then I'd just be walking in the place and I would feel very, very special. Hallelujah. And that all helped to settle me in the church and to establish me and to help me to become a good Christian. Say amen. Amen. So these are 8 reasons why we must practice interaction. Amen. Why interaction is important for every church. Not just being around. I'm talking about active, intentional, active engagement of one another. Amen. Or engagement with one another. That I make it the point to speak to you. I make it the point to interact with you. I make it the point to get to know you. Even against your hostility, I'm pressing through. Do you see what I'm saying? Because there are some people who build walls around them and they are difficult to get to. It's like you have to learn how to climb over their walls in order to get to them. But when you do, you will discover that behind this wall is a very nice person and someone you'll be glad you eventually got to know. Hallelujah. And so I want to encourage you all in this church to become master interactors. Is there a word like that? Well, I made it up. If it's not, even if it doesn't exist, I think you understand what I'm saying. Amen. But you should become a person who is great at interacting with people, knowing that it's important. Hallelujah. Maybe you are not so great at praying for the church. I said the work is four: prayer, visitation, counseling, interacting. Do you see what I'm saying? Maybe you may be great with the other three, but you can be great with number four. Do you see what I'm saying? You can be great with number four. You can make people stick to you like glue in the church. You can make yourself the one that people remember when they come to the church. You can make yourself the one people think about. When you must add yourself to their memories of their encounter at the Lighthouse Church. Can I have an amen? They must remember you. When they go home, they must remember, oh, that lady, what was her name? What was her name? Oh, the lady with that smile. Oh, they call her some name. Sheila Mills. Oh, yeah. Sheila Mills. You know, that is how it should be. People must have fond memories of their encounter with you. Amen. And that is going to bring them back to the house of God until they become established and they themselves become a reason why others are going to join. Say amen. Amen. All right. So give me back those points very quickly. Number one is what? Makes people stay. Say interaction makes people stay in the church. Number two is what? It makes people feel important. Number three, interaction makes people feel they are not just a number or a statistic. Number four, right, that they are not being used to make the pastor famous. Hallelujah. Then number five, it changes wrong impressions. Hallelujah. Number six, helps people to become more committed. Number seven, okay, interaction is important because Jesus interacted. Hallelujah. If Jesus interacted, then you must also, as a follower of Christ, learn how to interact. Amen. That means keeping to yourself is not Christian. It's not Christ-like. What do you think? Means going to stand against the wall waiting for everybody to finish is not Christian, isn't it? It means seeing people come and not saying anything to them is not a Christian practice. Because the Christian, that is the Christian practice, is to engage people when you see them. Say amen. Amen. Right. Then the last point is that interaction makes people feel special. Say amen. Amen. All right. Have you learned something tonight? Okay. Stand to your feet and let's pray. Bring the service to a close. Hallelujah. I want you to bow your heads and pray that God will help you to be a person who interacts with the people he sends to the church. You want to be someone who is good at interacting. Maybe you're one of those people who keeps to yourself, or who tries to mind your own business, and who tries not to meddle with other people because you feel that they're bothered. Or sometimes you think you are shy. You don't know what they would think of you. You are a little afraid that they might reject you, or they might have all kinds of ideas and thoughts about your motives for trying to interact with them. But remember that you're doing it because of Christ. Remember that following Christ can cause people to misunderstand you. It can cause people to assign different motives to your actions. It can cause people to ridicule and laugh at you. It can cause people to think in so many ways about you. But it is Christ we are serving, and He is the most important person to follow and obey. And if He says we should interact, then we should interact. If He did interacting Himself, then we also have to be engaged in this precious exercise that builds churches. Why don't you pray, everybody, and say, Lord, please give me an ability to interact in the name of Jesus. Take 2 minutes to pray. Name of Jesus. Father, we thank you with blessing in Jesus' name. Thank you for the opportunity to interact. Thank you, Lord, for the grace for interaction. Thank you for all the new people that you keep sending to this church. We pray, oh God, that we will not lose them, but that we will be able to say like Christ, that all that you gave me, I have kept. We'll be able to say like Christ that of all the people you gave us, we have kept them, Lord, in the name of Jesus. Bless this church. Bless the Tuesday service, Lord. Let the Tuesday service grow in the name of Jesus. Let it multiply, oh God. Let the Tuesday service multiply abundantly in the name of Jesus. Let there be a whole new Tuesday crowd in the name of Jesus. Thank you, Father, for your blessing in Jesus' name. Amen. Hallelujah. Why don't